Please open in your Bibles with me to the book of 1 John, chapter 5. 1 John, chapter 5, can be found on page 1221 of your pew Bibles. 1 John chapter 5, we'll be looking tonight at verses 6 through 12. Pay careful attention now to the reading of God's holy and inerrant word. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with the water only, but with the water and with the blood. It is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and the three are in agreement. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For the testimony of God is this, that he has testified concerning his Son. The one who believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. The one who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. And the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. Please pray with me. Oh God, we thank you for your word, and we pray, God, now that you would even work in our own hearts by the power of your Spirit, that you would teach us the things which we need to know from your word. Father, that your Spirit would teach us the things we are to believe, Lord, and that they would give us confidence in our walk before you. Father, we pray these things, knowing you hear them, because we pray them in the powerful name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As we've been looking through 1 John, and we're coming to the end here, we've been given much truth. There's been much told about you. And you're given the gospel again and again, signs of what a true Christian life looks like, signs of what a regenerate, a reborn person looks like, signs of who Jesus Christ is. And you're told to judge. You're given testimony and you're told to judge. See, everyone, we're all judging something. And today, tonight, your call is to trust the testimony given of Jesus Christ. To trust the testimony given of Jesus Christ. So the first thing you need to trust, the first witness you need to trust, is the water and the blood's testimony of Jesus. Look with me at verses 5 and 6. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with the water only, but with the water and with the blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth, for there are three that testify. See, this water and the blood point us back to the entire testimony of God about sin and redemption and the point of Christ in this world. We remember chapter 2 that If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And in the Old Testament, we got a sense of that in the water and in the blood. See, at the temple, again and again and again, people would come and they would have to wash themselves. If they got in touch with someone, they would have to wash themselves. If they did something, they might have to wash themselves. Again and again, that was showing there is something impure that you need to be purified. And it was pointing to Christ, who would ultimately purify. And the blood, again, at the temple, again and again, the people were sprinkled with the blood to purify. The objects in the temple had to be sprinkled with blood that they might be dedicated and purified and set apart as holy. And so we look at the Old Testament and we see that the water and the blood of the Old Testament point as types, point as signs and symbols to the work and the person of Jesus Christ, your Savior. And Hebrews chapter 9, verses 12 and 14 give us this indication. And not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, he entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling those who have been defiled sanctify for the cleansing of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And then verses 19 through 22 of that same chapter, Hebrews 9. For when every commandment had been spoken by Moses to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of the calves and the goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the covenant which God commanded you. And in the same way, he sprinkled both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry with the blood. And according to the law, one may almost say, all things are cleansed with the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So the Old Testament, all the sprinkling of the blood, all the pouring out of the water was pointing to a better covenant. It was testifying to something better, and that was Jesus' own unblemished self. And so we look at the Old Testament, we see it pointing to Christ, but even when you look at the testimony of the water and of the blood in the Old Testament, you must remember the water and the blood of Christ. You're brought back to the waters of his baptism. This is so important that all the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all of them find the baptism of Christ so important that they record it. In Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, we read, after being baptized, Jesus went up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and coming upon him. And behold, a voice out of heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. See, the inauguration of Jesus's, the start of Jesus's ministry, the anointing of Jesus's ministry came with the water. And it pointed to the ministry that Christ would have of a better covenant. But the blood testifies as well, Christ's own blood. See, Christ poured out his own blood for you as an atonement for your sin, to cleanse you. John chapter 19. It's amazing. We keep in mind that this is the same John who's writing the epistle as the Gospel of John, and we'll be spending quite a quite a bit of time in John tonight, but in John chapter 19, it's vivid. John the Apostle is at the Mount. He's at Golgotha. The one whom he loves is crucified. And in chapter 19, verse 34, we read, "But one of the soldiers, one of these Roman guards, they come and they pierced his side with a spear. And immediately blood and water came out." And then John speaks of himself here in verse 35. "And he who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true. And he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you may also believe." See, when that guard struck our Savior in the side, he spilt the perfect blood of your Savior. He spilt the water out of our Savior's side. This is the blood of the new covenant that testifies to Jesus Christ. The water and the blood. Matthew 26:28, Jesus says, "For this is my blood of the covenant." Of course, he's talking about at the Last Supper, this cup, the wine that portrays, that shows forth his blood that was about to be spilt. He says, "For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." It's Christ's blood. When we come to the Lord's table and we see it, when we come and we understand, when we perceive the Lord's body, we give testimony that it is our Savior. It is your Savior's blood. It is your Savior's blood spilt out for many for the remission of sins. And it testifies every time you take of it that his coming was true. And every time one of our new children is baptized in his name, you testify of this new covenant. His blood and his water testify about Jesus, and you are to believe them. This is why you are given the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper, that you might be reminded again and again of the need for purification of sin and your dire need for Jesus Christ. So you must believe, you must trust the testimony of the water and of the blood. This is your first credible witness. This is your first believable witness. Your next is that of the Spirit. You must trust the Spirit's testimony about Jesus. You must trust the Spirit's testimony about Jesus. Look with me again at 1 John chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. 1 John chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. "This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not with the water only, but with the water and with the blood. It is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify." See, the Holy Spirit testifies to you, Christian, that you must believe Jesus Christ. You must believe what the Gospels say about Jesus Christ. You must believe what the Apostles say about Jesus Christ, because the Holy Spirit testifies to it. Again, looking back at John chapter 14, We learn about this. John chapter 14, beginning at verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides within you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you and in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I was abiding with you. And again, speaking of the Spirit, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives, do I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, nor let it be fearful. The Holy Spirit has come as a helper. He came as a helper to the apostles. We read in verse 26 the amazing thing, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Everything Jesus Christ said to his apostles, the Holy Spirit enabled them to remember. And they wrote it down. And so when you read the scriptures, when you come to the Word of God, you come to the very words that Christ has spoken because the Holy Spirit enabled them to remember it. And this is why previously in 1 John chapter 2 he said, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. You know the truth, Christian. How do you know the truth? Because the Holy Spirit enabled the apostles to remember it, and he has preserved it for you in his word. And he has done it as well because the Holy Spirit abides in you, and you know it. And you show that the Holy Spirit abides in you because you keep his commandments. We explored this in depth this morning. You keep his commandments because they're not burdensome to you, because they're sweet to you, because you love your Father, and all of this shows that the Holy Spirit is in you. Then John chapter 15, verse 26, tells us more about this ministry of the Holy Spirit. John 15, 26. When the Helper comes, who I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. Do you believe the testimony of the Holy Spirit? Are you trusting in his word? I can promise you, if you go online and you just Google testimony of the Holy Spirit, you're going to get a bunch of wackadoodle stuff. You're going to get some craziness. Don't listen to most of it. The Spirit's primary work in your life is bringing your heart, your thinking, your belief, your actions in line with the Scriptures. It's not in some special revelation, some word special to you. That's not it. But it's in his word revealed to you. So if you're looking to hear from the Holy Spirit, turn on YouVersion and play the Bible. Don't go thinking you have to go into some woods and go into a trance to hear the Holy Spirit. You hear it every time. You hear the words. You hear him. You hear the Comforter. You hear the Advocate. You hear the Helper. You hear the one who comes alongside you when you open the Word. This is why it's important for you, Christian, to be in the Word, to be reminded of this testimony every day. And it's amazing what happens when that Holy Spirit came upon the apostles in the beginning of Acts. What do we see? We see the Holy Spirit reminding them of the things they taught and Stephen preaching. It's remarkable. You read about Stephen is basically nowhere in the New Testament, but he comes out of the blue and all of a sudden he's preaching with great conviction, so much so that people stone him. But his face is radiating. And then you get to Peter, and you get to that guy who, man, he said some amazing stuff when Jesus was around. But he also said some really foolish things when Jesus was around. One of the most amazing things is Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 through 17, when Jesus is asking the apostles, "Who do the people say that I am?" And they give him various answers, and Jesus says, "But who do you say I am?" Jesus and Peter gives that great confession. He confesses. Well, let's read it. Matthew chapter 16. This is Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 17. "Now when Jesus came to the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, 'Who do people say that the Son of Man is?' And they said to him, 'Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, but still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets.' He said to them, 'But who do you say I am?' Simon Peter answered, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.'" In a moment of absolute clarity that the Holy Spirit gives him, he realizes it. He realizes that the one he is standing in front of is the Anointed One, the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is what the Holy Spirit does, and this is what Peter all of a sudden starts proclaiming at Pentecost. This is what the Holy Spirit does, and we are to trust the teaching that the Holy Spirit has given the apostles. And it's preserved in your word. So you are to trust the testimony of the water and the blood. You are to trust the testimony of the Spirit. You are also to trust God's testimony about Jesus. This seems like a no-brainer, but you are to trust the God's testimony about Jesus. Look with me at verse 9 of 1 John chapter 5. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For the testimony of God is this, that he has testified concerning his Son. And in verse 11, and the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Trust the testimony of God about Jesus Christ. It's simple, right? But we can trust the testimony of men, the apostles. And even in your day-to-day life, you can trust the testimony of men. You trust, generally, eyewitnesses of accounts. But it's interesting that God uses his own testimony in the scriptures here as the highest testimony. Who else are you supposed to believe? If you don't believe God's testimony about Jesus, then you don't believe Jesus. Well, what does God testify concerning Jesus? Again, it's important to go back to the gospel, and specifically the gospel of John, about what the Father testifies. John chapter 5, verses 31 through 40. John chapter 5, verses 31 through 40. If I alone, this is Jesus speaking, if I alone testify about myself, my testimony is not true. Or if I alone testify about myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who testifies of me, and I know that the testimony which he gives about me is true. You have sent to John, and he testified to the truth. But the testimony which I receive is not from man. But I say these things so that you may be saved. He was the lamp that was burning and was shining, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light. But the testimony which I have is greater than the testimony of John. For the works which the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I do, testify about me that the Father has sent me. And the Father who has sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. You do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe him whom he sent. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me, and you are unwilling to come to me so that you may have life. Do you see the testimony that the Father has given about Jesus? It's Jesus' very acts. The fact that Jesus came in the flesh is testimony enough to you that the Father sent him, that the Father sent his only begotten Son, the one whom he loved, that he might die for you. God sent his Son, and his miracles, his acts, his deeds testify that the Father sent him to save those who believe in him. See, too often we're looking for mysterious things in the scriptures. Ooh, what special thing has God given us that testifies about Jesus? His life. That simple. God sent his only begotten Son into the world. What more proof do you need? Can you get a higher proof than the second person of the Trinity incarnate? You're looking for something greater than Jesus? Jesus is the testimony of God. His acts proclaim God's testimonies. So when you are questioning, when you are burdened with doubts about, do I believe this? Well, do you believe that God sent his only begotten Son and Jesus is who he says he is, and that his deeds, his miracles, his acts prove that? That is the testimony of God, and it is greater than any testimony that you can receive from another person. So trust the testimony of God about his Son. Last thing, the last testimony you must trust is trust Jesus' testimony about himself. Trust Jesus' testimony about himself. This is a last witness. Look with me at 1 John chapter 5, verses 10 through 12. 1 John chapter 5, verses 10 through 12. The one who believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. The one who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. And the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. This should be ringing in your ears of something you heard that Jesus said about himself. Specifically verses 11 and 12. And the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. Well, that makes sense. And the opposite would be true. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. Jesus said this. John's not pulling this out of thin air. John is one of those apostles who is given the Holy Spirit and remembers what Jesus testified about himself. Turning it back again to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. John chapter 14, verses 6 and 7. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. See, Jesus testifies about himself that he is the only way. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him. John is just rephrasing this. He who has the Son has the life. He who has the Christ has eternal life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. No one comes to the Father except through the Son. Jesus said this. John is repeating it, and you are to believe it. And this world is going to try to tell you otherwise. This is no surprise. This isn't something new. I'm going to venture to guess that barely anything we have been learning in 1 John is new to you. Because the Holy Spirit has made it known to you, and you know all. You know it because the Holy Spirit has given it to you in your word, or in his word. And you know that the only way to the Father is through the Son. The only way to have eternal life is if the Son is in you and if you are in him. So live in him. Believe in him. And when the world throws everything they have at you, forget it. When the world comes at you with some type of lie, we explored a whole bunch of them this morning. Forget it. What has your commander told you? What has Jesus Christ told you? That is what you believe. And it's not hard to find. It's not mystical. It's in his word. And you go there. And you dwell there. And you find your hope there. And when you come to his word, when you trust the testimony of the word, when you trust what it says about the water and the blood, when you trust what it says about the Spirit in your life and in the apostles and in this world, when you trust God's testimony about sending his only begotten Son, when you trust what Jesus says about himself, his own testimony, you have conquered this world. And there is nothing that this world can do to take you from him. Nothing, Christian. Nothing in this world. If you are clinging to the testimony that the God of this universe has given you, and all of the signs and the symbols and the proclamations and his word, nothing can remove you from him. And nothing will trick you. Nothing will somehow dupe you. Nothing will rip you away from him. Because you are his child. And you are a conqueror of this world. This is why John ends this wonderful epistle with verses 20 and 21. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him. We are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Jesus is the true God and he is eternal life, and we trust in him with every fiber of your being. And this is why the epistle closes with, little children, guard yourselves from idols. You are to walk this Christian life. You are to lead this life as conquerors, confident of God's love for you, knowing that he is in you and that you are in him, knowing that he cleanses you from your sin and he surrounds you with the great testimony of his deeds, of his love for you, and he surrounds you with the church. Those who love you, who show the love of Christ to you, and who you are to love as well. So as we close 1 John, leave from here trusting the witnesses, the testimonies that the God of this universe has given you, and live your life with confidence and with assurance of your salvation, and not with a life of fear, for perfect love casts out fear, and he has given you that perfect love in his Son, Jesus Christ. So smile and rejoice in your salvation and live this life as conquerors. Let's pray. God, we thank you for what a great salvation you have given us, and we pray that we would live our lives with confidence, work your Spirit in us, that we would have you in us and we would be in you, and that we would have such a desire to share this love of Jesus Christ even to the ends of the earth. Lord, and that you would let your church know that we are triumphant because we follow our great King, Jesus Christ, our Messiah, our anointed one. Make these truths true and let us trust in your testimonies because your Spirit will do these things. In Jesus' name, amen.